Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 119 with myself, T-Unit. As always, Kilo G.
What's up, everybody?
What's his nickname, bro? What are we going to name him? He's got to have a cool nickname. Just
P-Bob, dude.
P-Bob.
P-Bob.
So, guys, today, you know, we got a couple hours of sleep last night. I think me and Kel, we both went to bed around 1, 2, something like that, and got up at 4 just for this special guest. That's how special he is. I don't lose sleep. Kel knows this. I don't lose sleep for nothing.
Yeah,
I'm like a 9:30 sharp guy, and then I wake up at 5:30.
I was surprised to see you texting as late as you were.
Yeah, last night. Oh, there was
some
business.
You're excited, huh?
There were some business deals going down last night at midnight in, on a group chat. So, and I was texting. And I was like, I hope I'm not waking Kel up, but I got to text back.
I keep that shit.
There's money on the line. You got to text back. Guys, today we have a good friend, Patrick Bolaños.
Ooh,
I got it. Yeah. It only took me about 10 tries practicing before, but no, Patrick's an amazing dude. He's one of our Apex brothers. We met him probably, a year and a half ago, something like that. Is that when you joined?
I joined Apex in 2019.
It was 2019. So we've known you for a couple years now. Yep. So a couple years goes by quick.
Arte, Avengers. I mean, we hang out all the time.
We're in like every single group together.
We actually... So, you guys don't remember this, but I remember this.
Okay.
We had lunch together. The first RSA Syndicate Live in St. Louis at the same table.
Oh, and even McBrim was there.
Yeah.
We went to
the RSA Syndicate Live in April of 2019.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going, but I don't remember anybody.
We had lunch together
at the table.
Yeah.
You got to understand.
I only remember you because of the hats, because it's like a signature.
Yeah. It's the flat brim. Who's this douchebag? That's kind of what your first thought was, huh? That's what everybody's first
asshole.
Thought.
Look at this asshole.
Who the hell's this kid? Like, is he the water boy or what? What's he doing here? He can't own a business.
I was going to say, Patrick's like one of these dudes, when you talk to him, you're just instantly like friends, right?
Oh, yeah.
But now I got to retract that. It didn't happen in St. Louis,
dude. I was kind of shy there, bro.
You were really shy?
Yeah, I was being shy and silent and just...
Just kind of trying to take it all in.
I was just...
It's nerve-wracking to go to some of those and just...
It was my first event of that type.
Yeah.
For self-development, for myself,
Now, had we... I think that was mine, too. Mm-hmm. We hadn't joined Apex yet. So that was one of my...
I was in RTA that year without you, because remember we talked about it, like, let's just do one instead of both of us, see how it is. We just kind of filling it out. And I was like, Travis, pretty dope. Let's go to the live, right?
Yeah.
So I brought him out to the live. I guess we met you.
We had lunch together. Yeah. We didn't really talk after that.
Well, it sounded memorable for you. I mean, I don't remember
I ate that shit and bounced.
And tried to get, get comfortable somewhere.
When we met you through Apex, I'm like, dude, this is a solid dude, right?
Yeah.
And then he's got an amazing story.
Yeah.
Right? I love the stories that you have shared with me.
Let's talk about kind of your upbringing, where you were born, when you came to the United States, all that stuff. Let's package this whole thing up.
But before we go there, I do want to thank you guys, because being here today, you guys made the trip.
Yeah.
You woke up extra early. I know what it's like. I'm also a 9 o'clocker. Mm-hmm. Like, to get me to stay up past 9 o'clock, it's got to be ultra, ultra important. So I'm very humbled. And super grateful.
I did it for you.
That you're here.
Yeah.
I'm
going to fill it for the next week.
Okay.
And trying to get back to my sleep cycle. You know, if I miss it,
I'm going to make it up to you guys.
It's almost like a hangover for me.
We're going to make it up. I'm going to find a way to make it up.
Honestly, we don't haul all of our podcast equipment across the country either for very many people.
That's right, baby.
Just so everybody knows, Patrick is not only a friend, he's a client. He's also a referral partner of ours. Like, he's a very important person to us. And at the end of the day, you are a great friend. So for us to pack all this shit up and come down here, bro, it's not even like it was like this hard thing to do, because we want to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've
been talking about getting you on the podcast for a minute.
Yeah.
You're just so Mr. Busy over here.
Awesome.
You can't come up
now
to
we're
Utah.
Here.
Yeah,
and here now we're here. So. No, but I'm going to Utah.
Yeah.
It's on camera.
Yeah.
Come up.
I'm going to Utah. So let me dig in my story, man. Like, I am originally from Nicaragua. You guys can see the map of the Nicaraguan the map of Nicaragua there. It's made out of used baseballs. I have a huge passion for baseball. I grew up in Nicaragua. On my mom's side, two doctors, right? On my mom's side, Nicaraguan. On my dad's side, my grandfather's Nicaraguan. My grandmother, American. She's still alive. She lives in Nicaragua. So I had the opportunity and privilege to travel between a third world country and a first world country growing up. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets that privilege. Yeah. And I refer to it as a privilege because I was exposed to extreme poverty growing up. We weren't poor. We also weren't wealthy, rich. I grew up pretty much groomed to go to college, get a job, get married.
You were groomed for the system.
So I was being groomed to go to college, which I did. But I was, you know, I always, growing up in Nicaragua, when you're in that country that's very poor, you always feel like, there's more for me. But yeah. It didn't really happen for me for a long ass time. I was 18. I went to school. I did the community college thing. I went to St. Louis University. I got my degree. I have a management information systems degree. And then straight out of school, I went into a job making sales, doing software sales for IBM in Central America. I did really good at it. I mean, I sucked at the beginning, but one of my oldest cousins who was also working there, he brought me in. He was like, listen, this is what you got to do. You got to write down your opportunities, blah, blah, blah. He'd actually like.
And that was maybe one of your first coaches.
One of my first coaches in sales. And I went from zero to like doing the biggest deal that year for the company that we were with. And then got married. Life happens. I moved to Honduras. I worked at a bank. And then life happened again. My brother-in-law got kidnapped in Honduras, so we had to leave. There's a whole story there that we could go dig into it later, but basically Honduras is one of the
most dangerous
places on earth. And so,
like a ransom deal?
Ransom deal, the whole fucking, it was crazy.
Like a movie, bro.
You know, it was like a movie. It was horrible. And we had to leave. So I left back to Nicaragua with my wife and my two kids at the time. Well, my wife was pregnant with Patrick Jr. And I got a job at Citibank. Citibank was a school for me. I learned because I was a commercial banker. And the reason I'm laughing is I got that job not knowing anything about banking.
About money.
Dude. Yeah. Nothing, dude. Yeah. Not knowing anything, but I went into the interview and I crushed it, right? I fucking killed the interview.
Yeah, obviously.
And they gave me the opportunity, bro. It basically doubled my income from one job to the next. I was just making double the money. And I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I bought all the banking books, commercial banking. I went on Amazon, if it was or whatever it was that at the time. I bought all the books. And my first boss was a regional Citibanker. He'd been in Citibank for ages.
Yeah.
And when you're in Citibank and you're around Citibankers, like, they talk in acronyms that nobody understands, right?
It's our own code language.
It's their own code language.
And when you're the young stud of the group, you don't know what the hell's going on. You're just kind of smiling, nodding your head, like acting like you know.
Exactly.
But don't know shit.
So my first regional meeting, I'll never forget this, bro. The guy, everybody's presenting their country plan because it was all the countries, right? I was the leader for Nicaraguan commercial banking. And everybody else, Salvador, Costa Rica, Panama, they're all doing their presentations. They're all city bankers. They all know what the fuck they're talking about. And it's my turn. I go up there and I talk whatever the hell I said. And then he comes up to me afterwards and he's like, you're not going to make it here. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to make it here? Bro, that was the worst presentation I had ever seen. Like, seriously? You have about 30 days to get your act together and figure out what the fuck you're doing. If not, you're gone. And I was like, holy shit. So Citibank has like a back office to train, like videos.
Just to, tutorials almost.
Tutorials for people to do it voluntarily. Yeah. You don't have to do them. You voluntarily do them to learn. I think I did 150 videos in like a week. And then we ended up being the fastest growing country, the country that had the most loans. We did the first derivative in Central America. That was a very important lesson for me. One, you have to prepare and... when you put yourself out there, you better know what the fuck you're doing, right? Because they're going to call you out on your shit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're around other players that know what they're doing. You might be able to bullshit somebody that doesn't know anything about the industry, but eventually you're going to come across one of the big dogs that know everything about the industry, mm-hmm. and you're just going to look stupid.
And that big dog made me look stupid, put me in my place, and I vowed never to be in that position ever again. And then life happens again, right? Life happens again. I'm at Citibank. Citibank decides they're going to sell the bank. My job is not guaranteed once they sell the bank. If they sell it to somebody that's not going to continue to
employ
me, yeah. I have to find something to do. So I start asking around. One of my friends from high school's parents bought a restaurant here in Houston, and they needed some help in the financial department, kind of like a CFO, right? Their oldest son was the president. He needed somebody to do the finances for them. So I've been in banking. I understood financing. They brought me aboard. I've moved my family from Nicaragua in 2014 to Houston. Mm. I had a six-figure salary with benefits, and I was still broke. Mm-hmm. I was still racking up.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. When you first started making money, were you the typical individual that right when they started making the money, you started living the six-figure lifestyle? Or were you pretty smart about the money that you had yourself when you started making a little bit of money?
No.
And stashing cash and no. putting money in not savings?
Not when, if we're talking before 2014,
yeah.
before 2017, yeah. like, no. I would.
So what was coming in was going out.
What was coming in was going out, another. And something happened. Maybe there was a medical emergency and we had to use our credit card, or we decided to splurge during Christmas time. And then maybe you're going to decide for a vacation and you're going to pay that back and you make that plan, you know, you're going to pay it back. And then that never happens. Mm-hmm. Then you have to rack up credit card debt.
It's just another same old cycle.
The same old cycle. And that's what happened to me. Mm. And I was in finances. Imagine having that disconnect between yeah. I'm running a restaurant's finances that does 10 million. And I can't manage my finances at home, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, this is a lesson. Just because people are in a certain position doesn't mean they understand everything or do even honor it themselves.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were running a funding company prior to switching it over to a credit repair company because leads started getting so expensive, like big hedge funds started coming in the funding industry, which drove up the cost per lead on Google, basically mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. got us to the point where we're breaking even, and we did that for like a year or two, and mm-hmm. then we're like, we can't just run a business that's break even, right? But we'd have people come in for funding that yeah. wanted to start. I remember watching one, hey, I want to start a credit repair company. What's your credit? And they had terrible credit.
Yeah.
One's like, oh, I want to become a financial advisor, and I want to have my own firm. Well, what's your finances look like? And they'd have like a couple $100 in their bank account.
Yeah.
And these are individuals that want to coach people on what to do with their money, but yep. they don't have any money, right? Yep. You know, so it's kind of a similar situation. Just because somebody's in a situation and it seems as though that they're doing really, really well, mm-hmm. that's not always the case, right? That's just what it seems like.
Right.
And you have
a title, and the title doesn't mean shit.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all it is a title. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what's happening behind the scenes, but honestly, I think a lot of people have to kind of go through some of those lessons mm-hmm. because and we've talked about this quite a bit on the podcast, but I know for a fact that even if we talk about it, people are going to just be like, yeah, whatever. I'm still going to make my 100 grand and still spend.
My money, my faucet won't turn off.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm always going to make this type of money or whatever it is.
I've been that guy.
Yep.
So did you have to learn the hard way of having good money come in, and then did it ever that faucet turn off, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. So funny thing is that I would manage the finances of a $25 million restaurant. So I eventually moved to another role.
So it went from $10 million to
$25
scaled,
million.
And it scaled to $25
And I
say,
no. I moved to another company that was doing $25 million. Oh, and so I became their actual CFO.
Oh, gotcha.
I was the chief financial officer for this restaurant group.
Gotcha.
And you could tell physically that I was not fulfilled.
That I was not.
And
well,
when I look back,
is it because you weren't challenged? Is that why you weren't fulfilled, or what do you
think? No, I think it was one. I would have a lot of fear about judgment, right?
Okay.
I had a lot of fear that people would judge me for one. He's a CFO and he's broke as a joke, and it just reflected in my physical appearance.
So you knew
like overweight. Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, so you knew that. Yeah, in your mind.
In my mind.
Yeah, and so the whole
I was
time,
living a fucking nightmare in my mind every single day, and the only thing I could do to manage it was sit on the couch and watch baseball or play fantasy football or drink the weekends away. Mm. My marriage was in fucking shambles. Mm. My kids were growing up, and I wasn't being present. And all that led to me getting fired from my job, not because of something that I did wrong, but something that I did right, only after I was exposed to Andy Frisella's MFCEO project. Mm. I listened to an episode, which was about doing the right thing and speaking up always, regardless of what ends up happening. And so I did. That Christmas, 2017, I got fired. I got let go from my position as CFO. I had no money in my bank account. Maybe had $500.
Mm. My guess, the bills were still there, though.
Oh, hell yeah, they were still there, bro. I had no idea where I was going to make the rent. I had no idea I was going to make the... It was a week before Christmas. Yeah. I had planned a family trip to Chicago to see my sister. And, of course, everything before I got fired was going to be put on a credit card, right? We were going to... And then after getting fired, I'm like, holy shit. I'm not even going to be able... So I called her and I told her, listen, I can't make it up there. She's like, no, you have to come. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? I have to come. I can't come.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll let you borrow the money. So she let me borrow $700 to make the trip. It was a road trip. We were driving up there. We drove up there. We spent Christmas. I was literally like, have you ever been somewhere? I don't know if you guys, has this ever happened to you, but I was there, but I wasn't really there.
Mm-hmm. It was like a dream state.
I was not there. I was like, I was trying to be present and enjoy Christmas. But all I could think about was
your situation.
Where the fuck am I going to pay rent for in January?
Yeah, right.
Where am I going to come up with the rent? What am I going to do? Mm. What am I going to do for my... And I was looking at my three kids. We have a newborn, my wife, and I'm like, holy fuck, I did this.
You're probably sitting up there like, holy shit, I shouldn't be here right now. No. I should be trying to find work.
Yeah. You
know? I did this. Yeah. I did this to my family. I put my family probably in the worst situation that I could have put them in. And that's when everything changed.
That was your rock bottom.
That was my rock bottom. That was my moment. That was when I decided this is not working. Mm-hmm. Whatever I had been doing the past 10, 15 years isn't working. Everything changes now. Mm-hmm. Started paying attention to what I was listening to. Started paying attention to who I was hanging around with. Started reading the books that I needed to read.
So it's all the typical shit that people hear over and over and over. They kind of shake their head out. But never take action.
Right.
Yeah.
Only until you need to.
Yeah.
That's the sad truth.
That's when it really starts ringing true.
Right.
Is when you're at that low spot.
Yep. What's the first thing I did after I got fired? Applied for unemployment. Mm. So I had $400 coming in on a weekly basis. It was only going to last 12 weeks.
Is that the time? So Patrick made a Facebook post about this email that he almost sent his rich uncle.
That was in 2014. That was right before leaving Nicaragua. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
No. My issues had been accumulating over time.
Right.
And I had this huge fear of judgment.
So no matter what, even if you tried to avoid them, they're still there.
Oh, yeah.
They're still just piling up behind you.
Yeah.
And there's many people that are avoiding the issues in their life right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you will have to address them head on. Some people do it through drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? When you sober up, those issues, now you got more issues.
Right.
You got the issue that you got to clean up from mm-hmm. alcohol.
Yep.
Then those issues from the past are still going to be there. Those demons, they might be just asleep or dormant right now. But when reality hits, reality, like whatever it is, it just needs to be addressed.
Yes, sir.
And I think he just avoided addressing shit head
on. For years.
Or even being honest with yourself, right? Just kind of going through the motions of life.
Well,
like I'm paying my bills.
It's easier to not be honest with yourself, man. You're just like staying in that victim state, you know? Like, oh, it's not my fault, you know?
It's fucking easy to sit on the couch and watch baseball for 3 hours and fucking be in a numb state.
Yeah.
And forget about it. And have a few drinks.
You know? And say, I deserve it. I've been working hard. I'm stressed or I'm that. Justify.
I've been at work all day until 6.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a break.
It's my time.
Yeah, exactly.
Baseball.
And so... Baseball, beer.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't even get me started when I would play fantasy football on Sundays and I would sit on my couch and watch fantasy football for 12 hours a day.
Just veg out.
Veg out for 12 hours
on
a Sunday.
Did you
win the pot? I didn't win shit, bro. Like, maybe I won once in 10 years.
He was chasing. Like, this time, I'm going to be
it shit. Makes me laugh, bro. Like,
sit,
like, every Sunday was during football season. Was wasted watching football games, watching a little score sheet, like
damn. Tallying up your points.
Yeah,
did I win?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so it would affect me emotionally. I would get flustered. It would change my emotional state. It would make me mean. It would make me mad. It would make me frustrated. Yeah. Like I let it affect me so much that it impacted my marriage. It impacted everything, like, around me.
Anger.
Yeah.
Just everything. So was it like, that was like 2017 that you were like, had that?
That 2017 was a catalyst moment that I just.
So that was December of 2017.
December 2017.
Yeah. At that Christmas.
You've done some big shit in the last 4 years.
Yeah, man. You've came a long, long way.
Now, I don't know how long, but in a short time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's possible.
Yeah.
Anybody that, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter as long as one day you decide that it's going to be different for you. Mm-hmm. And if you stick to it and you're disciplined, like, I got the opportunity to start selling food trucks after that. I was making $1,000 for every food truck that I would sell. How long do you think it took me to sell my first one? 2 days.
Because you were motivated?
Because I was fucking hungry.
You needed the money.
I needed the money,
dude. There was a need. not a want. No. A need.
Yeah. It took me two days. Like, oh shit, if I sell four trucks, I'm making $4,000. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so it's that's how we started. And then I had this built up knowledge as a CFO that I had never used for myself, but I've used it for everybody else. Mm. I would raise capital for restaurants, millions of dollars through crowdfunding. I was responsible for the paperwork and the diligent process to get a $2.5 million SBA loan.
All the details.
Every single detail to get it approved.
In order to submit, get it to underwriting.
Get it approved, which is a freaking nightmare. Yeah, yeah. 6 to 9 month process with the SBA for a conventional $2.5 million loan.
Yeah.
It's not a walk in the park. And so I would do that for everybody else except for myself. And so when my now ex-business partner, he offered me an opportunity. He had a restaurant in the south of Texas. And he said, you get 50% of this restaurant if you can raise the money for the second location. In 15 days, I had a pitch deck. I had the financial projections. I had everything that we needed to raise $75,000. In 15 days, we raised $75,000 from friends and family.
Nice.
And all it took was a little fucking, you know, like,
just that spark,
a little switch in my head that said,
it's go time.
It's go time. I'll do it for myself. This is what is going to get me out. This is what I got to do next. These are the next steps. These are my goals. They were written down. Nice. Listening to podcasts, reading the books.
So what year did you start doing the whole podcast thing? Was that 2017?
Listening to podcasts?
Like listening and starting.
About October 2017.
So all of it basically came together perfectly.
Oh yeah.
You started listening and filling your mind full of good information, good content. Your brain started turning. By the end of that year, something terrible happened for him, not to him, right? The whole head my left thing.
Yeah.
Again, if hindsight, it's so easy to see, but when you're in the moment, you're just in despair and it's hard to see anything positive coming out of it. But because of the good information that you were absorbing, the books that you were reading, the new habits that you were creating for yourself, within 6 months, you hit that rock bottom and then created an entire plan to end up where you are today.
An entire different life.
Mm.
Yep. Like black and white. It was totally different. Like it was, it's so much more different now than I was then, that even my own daughter recognizes that I was a different person then.
Mm-hmm.
She, who's 15, who's super smart and very, very perceptive aware.
Very hyper aware. Yeah.
She told me, you are totally different now, Dad, than you used to be.
Yeah.
And she loves me for it. And it kind of makes me sad because I wish I could have been this way with all my kids, right? But my two youngest, they're getting the best version of myself every single day. Yeah. And so are my two oldest now. I just wish every single one could have gotten that best version of myself.
I feel like there's
every single day.
I feel like there's still a huge gift there, though, right? For them to see that change and that transformation and be like,
to understand it.
Because if they ever hit ruts, we all hit ruts in life. And they think, like, man, my dad, I saw him transform, right?
I've never thought of it that way. That's a great way to see it.
Yeah.
Now it's learning.
Well, if they're ever in a spot that they hit rock bottom, they know that they can make whatever adjustments that they need to make to make their life look completely different.
Absolutely.
And they wouldn't have known that could be even possible without you showing them.
That's beautiful. That's awesome.
They're going to have a little extra grit. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing dad go
through. Oh, hell yeah. You know? Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. So then I started. We got the capital, right?
Got $75,000.
We got the money. We actually rejected $25,000 of it because we didn't need it. So we only took in 50. And we're about to open this fast casual in Texas, here in Houston. And we start selling trucks and we see an opportunity. And we see an opportunity to start building our own concession trailers and food trucks. Because we were pretty much brokering trucks from different companies, buying trailers.
You're just ripping commission checks.
Boom, grabbing it.
Get paid.
Yep.
But then you were going to do your own restaurant concept.
Yep.
And so you ended up merging those two.
We ended up scratching out the whole restaurant concept. And we talked to our investors and we said, hey, we're still going to pay you back if you allow us to use this money for this new business venture, which is to build concession trailers and food trucks. And
they said yes. Did you learn kind of everything from selling the food trucks, right? Like suppliers and how they operated and systems and processes and how they got their leads, how they made their sales. Obviously, you know how to make their sales because you were the sales guy. But I just had a guy in our DMs be like, man, I want to open up clinics. But right now I have to work Walmart, practically homeless. What should I do to start building clinics? And I'm like, what the hell are you working at Walmart for?
Yeah.
Go work at clinics, learn how they operate. Mm-hmm. And then you can start your own in a couple years, right? But I mean, how much did you learn from just selling it before you went out and started it, right?
So I learned, obviously, from talking to our customers. I talked to a lot of customers that already knew what they were doing. A lot of them still don't know what they're doing or getting into. But from the moment at Citibank, remember when at Citibank somebody fucking, you know, made me look like an idiot? I was not going to look like an idiot selling food trucks.
Yeah.
So I did my research. I would go online. I would go on the websites. I would do my research, my work to understand. One, you have to know in sales, and that's a great lesson for any salesperson, is understand what you're selling and believe in it. Because once you do that, it's really easy.
Yeah.
Right? And so.
You know what? I mean, we get messages all the time. I see you responded to them when you're handling it on your weeks, and I get them too on my weeks. I really want to be a business owner. I just don't know what business to get in. My response every single time is, you don't have enough experiences.
Yep.
You need to go try new things, get different jobs, figure out what it is that you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't go sell food trucks, you would have never had the idea to start building food trucks.
Right.
You know, and so it was the same with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the same with me. You know, we were in sales. We got really good at sales. And so businesses happened around sales in the industries that we were in.
Exactly.
Because we had, again, if you're young, 22, 23, and you're like, I don't know what business I'm going to start. How do you know what interests me? Go get experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Go try different shit. And I'm
Here's another huge lesson. Pay fucking attention.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I actually write about that in my book. I'm like, man, I wouldn't have an accounting company if I wasn't selling at an accounting firm and I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
How did my boss operate? How did he bring in business?
Yep.
How did fulfillment work? What are accountants like? What are business owners like?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then now I started figuring out, like, huh, like, I could actually solve some other problems within this company here, right?
Exactly.
But that company didn't want me there anymore, so went out and built my own because I paid attention. Right? Like, you paid attention, you started doing your own research on the food trucks while you're selling for a food truck company.
But you can't just sit on the fucking couch and then an idea happens.
Well, that's the thing.
It happens when you're just moving.
In action.
And in action.
Where you're in action.
So you have no idea where it's going to come from, but you have to be in action doing something. Mm-hmm. And then it comes to you. Opportunities come to people that are moving.
Prepared.
You know,
gotta be prepared.
That are action takers, just like we just said, right?
And most employees, which is fine. A lot of people don't want to be entrepreneurs, but if you're entrepreneurial and you're like, man, I know I want to be my own boss. I know I want to like start my own business. I know I want to build something that I want to build.
Mm.
It's like, well, stop showing up to work every day and just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Right?
So I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of shits on the side when I was a Citibanker, before I went to Citibank, before any of those jobs.
You were a hustler, right?
I was hustling. Yeah, I had a poker club in Honduras that I ran, and it was a for-profit business that I ran it on the nights, you know, three nights a week. We ran a poker club. It was highly profitable, but we couldn't, you know, it was something that was not going to be last very long. It's not sustainable. The hours were terrible.
It was fun as shit, though.
It was fun as shit. It was fun as shit.
Everyone's young and dumb.
I remember selling pirated satellite TV in Honduras, right? You know, these little dish.
Back in the
day. Dish Network, you know, you can get it pirated. Every single channel is free. You know, you would sell it for $1,500. I did that on the side for, you know, a year while I was working at a bank.
Side hustles.
Was always trying to find my way out of being an employee.
Yep.
During the whole time I'm being a good employee, maybe not the best, but good enough
Just to keep a job.
Just to keep a job. Maybe get promoted here and there, but it wasn't like, this is not going to be a career for me. I don't want to be the GM of this bank. I don't want to be the VP or whatever. And I did that over a long period of time. And so if you would have asked me 5 years ago, you're going to own a food truck manufacturing company.
You're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, where was that? That's way out of left field.
I never even thought of a food truck.
And that's how it happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how it happens. But you were just looking for opportunity. And then again, when you're looking for opportunities, the funny thing is about it is you usually find it when, again, you're actually taking action and you're doing something, right? Yeah. And so you got 50 grand. You had a business partner.
Yep.
And then you guys, what? Just bought an old trailer and started converting it?
We started rocking. We did ads on Facebook, the free ads in the Facebook marketplace.
Yeah.
We didn't buy any inventory. So it's not like we used the money to go buy a trailer and then convert it and then try to sell it. We sold it first, and then we went out.
And
built it out for them and et cetera. The money that we had, we used for machinery that we needed, for parts and tools that you need to build the trailer out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it took me about 2 weeks. Like welding machines, cutters, hand tools, the things that you need to build out a trailer. Yeah. I still remember our first cash deal. A customer that called us through Facebook, and she said, I'm looking for a snow cone trailer. Can you build me one? I said, absolutely, I can.
Hell yeah, YouTube University. How do you build a snow cone trailer? You know?
How much is it?
$25,000.
Boom. Okay, what do I need to do? Make a deposit here, blah, blah, blah. That was our first cash deal. And we didn't have the trailer at the time, so we ordered it, right? We ordered a shell of a trailer, and then we converted it. I still remember delivering it myself, taking it to Austin, Texas. We took it out there. We showed them how to use it. And we've been perfecting that process ever since. But it's not like I knew how to build a trailer from the start.
No.
Yeah. I partnered up with a guy.
You were selling trailers.
I was selling them. I wasn't building them. So our partner, 10 years, he's 10 years in the industry. He knows how to build them. So we partnered up with a guy that had been in the industry for 10 years.
Yeah.
This is exactly the shit that we've talked about before on our podcast. If you don't know what you're doing, either one, hire somebody who knows what they're doing, or partner with somebody that has a skill set that you don't have.
Exactly.
Right? And that's exactly what you did. You had the sales side. Somebody had kind of the fulfillment back end side in order to, they had the know-how on how to put it together. Right?
That's right.
And so you guys need to understand, I mean, we're literally in his shop right now and walking through it and getting the grand tour of it. And, you know,
this was built from zero.
Yeah, there's 30 guys out there hustling. There's welding machines, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's pretty awesome to see an individual hitting rock bottom in December of 2017. And here we are, 4 years September, little less than 4 years later, watching the operation happen, going and seeing his guys building these trucks.
Right.
And again, he didn't have everything that he needed in the moment when he had the idea.
Mm-hmm.
He just had the drive and the want for better.
Yep.
And everything else will figure itself out. He just started going and doing. And so many people are like, hey, we get this too in DMs, guys. Will you read my business plan?
Yeah.
It's like, did you have a business plan?
Absolutely not.
No, he had a little pitch deck. This is what I'm going to do with my restaurant.
And it was for something else.
And it was for something else. He raised the money for a restaurant and then asked him, hey, can we build food truck trailers?
Yeah.
Like concession trailer, you know? And that's what he did. And that's just entrepreneurship 101 right there. And so ingenuity at its finest. And so, guys, you don't have to have the perfect business plan. You don't even have to have fucking money.
No. Yeah. There's so much money in everybody else's hands.
This guy going around wanting something bad enough to ask enough people.
Yeah.
Now,
you can't go to a bank and get money.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten any money.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
exactly.
I would have been kicking the ass, probably.
And so going from selling one food truck or snow cone truck at that point to now pumping out,
300 a year?
Yeah. At least 20 trucks a month or so.
About 300 a year.
You know, something like that. I mean, it's grown quite a bit and it's an amazing operation. And kudos to you for showing up every day and just getting better
day by day. And it's such a cool industry, man. Like, Honestly, I think Trev talked to you very first about accounting and working with some of your customers.
Yes.
And then when he talked to me about it, and then we met at Apex and stuff, I'm like, what a cool industry, man. Yeah, like, so because different. It's like people that are leaving corporate America and they're like, I want to just do something.
For
right?
myself.
Or
for
people
myself.
That are like, yeah. you know, really good cooks, but they don't want to go work in a line cook and just yep. be a cook, right? Yep. They want to have their own thing. It's like, what a great place to start. Yeah. And it's cool. Like, yeah. I know when me and my family go, like, on vacations, we'd rather go eat at the food truck spots than over at the 5-star fine dining places, right? Oh, that are, like, yeah. 8 blocks from Disney World or whatever, dude, right? Like, we want to go to the food truck.
Went to the Big Island.
Yeah.
And we stopped at this food truck every single day for these, like, I don't know. They're not called donuts. They're called something else, but... They look like kind of donut holes or whatever.
Patrick
whatever.
Probably built that truck.
Yeah. We have one going to Hawaii, actually. Say, we got one. We have a trailer going to Hawaii.
Like, yeah, we're shipping one to Hawaii. So the cool thing about it is, guys, he's helping other individuals. So he became an entrepreneur himself. Now he's helping other people become entrepreneurs. And people come to him all the time with no money.
Yeah.
But they want a food truck.
Yep.
And so Mr. Resourceful over here. You know,
I actually have a video where I explain exactly how I raised 75 grand. It's on YouTube. It's free. Yeah. Go take a look at it.
But now you put together different like partners, funding partner. You send them, send them there, and you're helping people get into food trucks where they have $1,000 or $1,200 a month food truck payment, but they can sit there and have their own schedule.
Exactly.
Not work this day, not work that day. Oh, I want to travel, go out of town. It's not like you have this huge overhead and all these employees that you need to worry
about.
That
is correct.
And there's a lot of freedom to it. Right?
There is. There's a lot of freedom to it. And you both mentioned this, and we've seen a lot of clients come to us that have left corporate America. Obviously, we went through a pandemic. We're still going through all that shit, right? And a lot of people were let go, and they went, and they sat at home exactly like I was sitting at home after I was let go. I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
A lot of people know what they're passionate about, know that they're passionate about food, know that they have maybe a family recipe that they want to, you know, share with the world. So they come to us and...
But not the ingredients.
Well, not the ingredients.
Nobody shares the family recipe.
You can't share the recipe. You can share the final dish.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you ask somebody a recipe that's like secret.
They're not going to share the recipe.
You'll know if it's secret because they're like, no.
So what, like,
how dare you even ask?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not an insult. Share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just last week, Carlos was here. Carlos, one of our customers, he has 7 kids. He named his business Seven Seeds after having 7 kids.
Nice.
It's a barbecue business. And he was making 300 grand in the oil and gas industry. And then, boom, got let go. He's like, what the hell do I do now?
Yeah.
Now he has a booming barbecue business out of his own trailer. He employs friends and family, and he's enjoying his life.
Yeah.
And just like his story, there's countless others that I could talk about that have gone through the exact same process.
Well, what I think is cool about that is just like you showed your older kids how you changed, those individuals are now showing their kids, you know,
it's not
how
the
to go
world.
From corporate America, kind of getting let and getting hit with something that's difficult.
Yeah.
But turning something that's difficult into something that's positive.
Yep.
Right. And I'm sure they're in the food truck sometimes, and that it helps build work ethic. Right.
Exactly.
Even for the kids. And it's something for the whole family to do. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Know, one thing you said going back a little bit when you were like, man, I remember my first cash deal.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I remember my very first deal, right?
Yep.
That I sold working for myself. And it's so funny, and I don't know, maybe you can relate to this, but man, there were so many times I could have just given up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was buying these shitty leads from salesgenie.com and leadpile.com, and they just checked the box that they wanted to make more money, right? And so, and we're selling this Forex trading program back in 2006. Dude, every day was such a grind, and I got like at least 1,000 no's before I finally had that one yes, and this lady only spent $1,000 with us, but it just gave us that boost.
That one like, gave you for another 1,000 no's.
We can do it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I don't know, did you guys hit the wall a lot when you're first trying to launch this food truck business?
Oh, man, we've been through so many ups and downs. I maxed out my credit cards.
Well, it wouldn't be business without it.
I maxed out my credit cards, you know?
The business.
I had one $25,000 card that I had and maxed it out every single month. That's what we used to bootstrap the business.
Yeah.
My credit score was fucking like 530 back in the day, like when I started. But I had one card. That's the card we used. And I was still, I'm going to get, this story is pretty cool because we were like a couple of days from not being able to make payroll. Mm. But we'd been putting in the work, right? Mm-hmm. We've been putting in the work of generating the leads, talking to customers. And there's a sales cycle. Not everything closes immediately, yeah. Right?
So one call.
But we were one day away. It was a Thursday. Payroll's due the following day. We didn't have cash. We had maybe $1,000 in the account. On Thursday afternoon, a customer that we've been talking to for 3 months comes in. She's like, we're ready to get our truck done. What? Here's $45,000. Boom. That got us going again. That got us, you know, get the fuel going. Oh, gets us, like, it gives you life.
Yeah.
Right? And then that's when you know that, one, it's not going to be, there's not going to be a close every single day. And there's a cycle, but you have to put in the work. Like, and Mylett teaches, put in that work today to get the results 3 months from now. Yep. Not immediately. So, you know, it's been a
and you've watched it transpire.
Right.
And so, honestly, after that happens, it makes it a little bit easier to put in the work because you know, like, it's not in vain, right? There's gonna be fruit to this, this labor that I'm putting in today. It just might not show up this week or next week or whatever it is, right? And most people quit and give up after a month or 2 months or, or, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days before it looks like they can't make payroll. Hey guys, this isn't going to work no more. Like, we're just shutting the doors.
And they
missed out that opportunity of that 45 grand walking in the door.
Yep.
And now you got a money counter sitting right behind us here because when people come in with the cash, you know.
Yeah. Like, I've never used one of those. Dude.
Me neither. I want that.
We never get cash.
So I'm going to start pulling out. I'm going to buy one. How much are those?
That's like $300. You can get them at Office Depot. Used to exist. I don't know if they exist still, but.
That's
Home Depot
right
down
there.
The street. Yeah,
I love that.
You know, back in the day, though, I thought it was like a godsend. Like, oh my gosh, like God sent us our first customer. Yeah. I was about to give up. But man, that's really. I mean, the godsend is that you got the abilities to just grind shit out and to keep showing up, even though you don't know what the outcome's gonna be, and just facing those trials head on, and eventually something good will happen that boosts you again.
Yeah.
You know, like it did for you. And I when you said that, like, I remember my first deal. I was like, man, I remember my first deal. And it was
sweet, dude.
Point,
it's sweet. Like, it's sweet. Like, whoa, we have a business here, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Don't really have a business unless you have a buck coming in the front door when you get that first $25,000.
Yeah, let's go.
It starts becoming real. And so, you know, you've helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get in business for themselves.
Yeah.
And if any of you guys are interested or thinking about any of this, you have a Facebook group as well, right? Yeah.
Food trucks and trailer owners, tips and tricks. It's where we share valuable information on anybody that wants to get started. There's 25,000 members.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that own food trucks that are in
a lot of them share
information, content about what they're doing or whatever. And so does Patrick. Patrick in there sharing information.
Where's that YouTube video that shows you how to raise 75K?
At Trailer King Builders YouTube channel.
Okay.
At Trailer King Builders on Instagram too. We have content on how to price your menu, how to understand a P&L for a food truck, how to start your food truck, how to raise capital for your food truck, how to get approved by a bank. What I don't have yet is bookkeeping for food truckers.
We know some people.
For food truck owners.
We know a guy?
Yeah.
We know
two guys.
We know a couple badass motherfuckers in both those industries. So
we'll do a YouTube video together, bro.
Yeah, we'll have you link up with them right after the podcast.
Make sure you introduce me.
Yeah, we'll do an intro. Yeah. So if somebody wants to link up with you and just say thank you for the show, because I guarantee you there's somebody right now that is in your December 2017.
At Patrick Bolanos HTX on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. It's all open, public, Patrick Bolanos. And then follow us on Instagram for Trailer King, Trailer King Builders. Check out the stories.
Do you have a website if they wanted to go most of the probably trailers are just visual on Instagram where they can kind of see all the stuff that you've done.
That's a great question.
You've done fucking snow cone shacks to straight up like buses, like redoing buses. What's that bus for?
That is a mobile food truck in a bus.
Like what?
All
what,
types what? Of cuisine. Like they're going to be serving burgers, fries, wings, all kinds of stuff.
It don't matter what type of cuisine. You
40-foot yellow bus converted into a truck.
Yeah. So you work with them and say what you want, and then you kind of map it out with them, and then they kind of approve
They approve
the plans exactly. of how it's built out, and then yep. you kind of go from there.
We have a customization tool on our website. Gotcha. So I'm glad that you asked, because yeah. you can go to our website and actually build your trailer or truck as you want it. Mm-hmm. Can't be, I mean, I wish I could add every single belt and whistle yeah. that you can think of,
yeah.
but it's the basics. Like
it's a food truck.
It's a food truck. Can, yeah. And you pick your equipment, generator.
Kind of tells you the price as you go.
And it tells you the quote. It sends you a quote to your email. And then once we get that email, we set up an appointment and we go over to see where you are in the process. And all we want to do is help.
Yeah. yeah.
We're not, even if you don't buy from our company,
yeah.
we want to make sure that you have the tools to make an educated decision. Because we understand this is a heavy investment.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be,
it could be life-changing.
Exactly.
For somebody, so, you know, so make sure you're making the right decision, you know.
I've talked to him about buying a food truck a couple times.
Let's go.
Dude, my old man, I told you.
He's yeah, you did.
Chemo and stuff right now. Yeah. And he's like, I can't do construction anymore. And I'm like, literally, I talked to him about getting a food truck. He's like, I don't know what to do there, you know. I was like, well, you just be that old yeah. guy that sits out in front of the food truck bringing yeah. all the customers in.
Yeah.
His name's Papa John, dude.
There you go.
So he's got to do something, yeah. right? Well, I told him I bought
a food truck. That's copyright, bro.
Yeah.
Isn't that Papa John's?
Well, he'd be like place. Papa John.
Papa John Burgers.
Papa J.
So, yeah.
It doesn't have to be Papa John Pizza.
Yeah.
It could be Papa John Burgers or John Whatever. Papa.
Yeah. So, bro, today was awesome.
Yeah. I really enjoy having you
No,
guys
it
here,
was
man.
Awesome. No, like for real, for real.
Yeah.
The place that you took us for lunch was good, too.
That was
so
good,
appreciate
yeah.
The Tex-Mex, you know, it was good.
We've never had real Tex-Mex.
Really?
It was good. It was a little bit different.
You're welcome.
A little bit different. But
thanks for coming by. Like, having you guys here, I mean, I'm super, super excited about having you guys. When you guys texted and called, I'm like, hell yeah, it's going down.
Yeah.
No. It won't be our last time visiting, bro.
Yeah, no, we'll be down again and again and again. And
I'll be up there, guaranteed.
And maybe Kel will be down getting... Papa J's food truck does.
Let's go.
Here,
that's
here
right,
soon
man.
Enough.
That's
right. So
I'm gonna talk him into it though. He doesn't. My dad loves food, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
He loves eating it. Not,
he doesn't
not,
know what
not
he would
cooking it or
set.
What.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Make sure you know. I mean, make sure he understands a little bit of what it's gonna take. Cause these are some pretty hot boxes right here, dog.
Yeah.
You don't want your dad in there.
I know.
How hot do they get?
Some work.
Like hot.
Like.
You can't 120? Stand the heat. Oh, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen, bro. Literal.
So you get a food
that's
truck.
Level
yeah,
food
you
truck.
Get a food truck and put the kids in it. Right. Yeah, teach them how to cook because they can handle some shit. Kids are resilient.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, make sure that you're sharing the information. If it's valuable to you, it's going to be valuable to somebody else. Make sure you're rating, reviewing the podcast. That definitely helps us get it out there to more individuals that need to hear it. So, as usual, guys, kick ass, take care, have a good day.